Sister Gyanamata, Yogananda's foremost woman disciple, once said, "If you want to hear God's voice, shut out the noise of the world, or you will miss it." And I was coming to Swami Kriyananda and all the interactions through the many decades and years of being with Swami Kriyananda. For me and for most of us in this room, it's not so much about shutting out the noise of the world. For the most part, we're all in agreement on that one, to the extent we can. It's more about shutting out the noise of the mind. And so I took it very early, I remember, I took it upon myself. It just came naturally. Whenever I had to speak with Swamiji, when he would call or when I needed to call him, and in the years I had to work with him, interact with him quite a bit more closely, I would always have a picture of Master by the telephone, and I still do, and I always gaze in Master's eyes when I speak to him, and I pray to Master as I speak to him and before I speak to him to help my mind be still so that I can hear his voice, so that I can hear what I need to hear in the circumstances. And believe me, it's not easy. Swami Kriyananda lives these teachings. They're second nature to him. But I know for us, well, I remember I've shared with some of you through the years, when I first started to work with him more directly, he asked me to come and help coordinate his, at the time it was called his special projects. And it didn't take me very long to figure out that we were his special projects that he was working on. But in any case, at a certain point, the name changed, and then it changed again, and it changed again of the department, until it finally became Crystal Clarity Publishers. And for those of you who know, have ever done a business or a project, you know how important it is to have a name that people recognize and not have it changing all the time. It was bad enough that the author's name changed quite a bit. But then the company's name, you know, it was a little challenging. So finally we had been Crystal Clarity Publishers for about, oh, less than a year, maybe 6 months or so. And he called me up to meet with him about something at the Hermitage, and the Crystal Clarity offices were right there on the grounds at the time. And he was in his garden going through a manuscript or something. So it was a beautiful, quiet, peaceful day. And he talked to me about whatever it was he needed to tell me. And then he said, "Oh, by the way, someone suggested another name for our department, for the company." And it was as if I saw red. And in my mind, and not just in my mind, I just started just spouting out all the reasons why that was a really bad idea. You know? And at a certain point, he was just really quiet, really calm. And I looked into his eyes, and I could see my mouth just flapping like this, you know. And I realized what was going on and got a little more quiet. There was no judgment in those eyes. There was no patronizing. There was no condescending. There was nothing, just a clear mirror of calmness and compassion, you know, for this wild, chattering mind. I remember another time when I failed miserably at it. I had the worries of the whole world right on my shoulders, and you know what happens when you do that. And I was at a gathering at the Crystal Hermitage and passed Swami in the big double doorway between the living room and the foyer. And I was like this, and I walked through, and he looked at me sideways, and he didn't say a word. He just went, It's actually more the things he didn't say than what he did say that have been the most helpful through the years. There was another time I wanted to share with you because it touches on what Jyotish was talking about. And crystal clarity had grown quite a bit and we'd outgrown our facilities. And for a brief time, there was a consideration of building a large crystal clarity offices and print shop and everything on the Hermitage grounds. So he called a meeting, Swamiji did, with the various people involved with planning in those days. And there was an aerial kind of a sketch of the grounds. And Swami pointed, and it just surprised all of us, to the spot just on the other side of the chapel where the fence is, where many of the staff park in that area to build this building. And a couple of the people who were residing in the Hermitage at the time just were horrified. No, but this is a peaceful place. This is not a place for the work setting and business. And Swamiji just said, we've been way too compartmentalized in our lives at Ananda, he said. We have to understand that, you know, where we're working and serving, where we're living, where we're going to chapel or church, it's all the same. He said, look at I have my office here, and I live there. He said, when Master built Mount Washington, when he bought it, but built the work there, he had a print shop there, he had bedrooms there, he had the chapel there, it was all under one roof. He said, it's all the same. We live in much too compartmentalized lives. You know, we sort of think this is where I go to work to serve God, we try to remember God, and then this is my time. This is my time. This is my vacation. I remember at one point, all of us here and many more, there were about 14 of us, he invited us to go to Hawaii with him for a rest after a really, really hectic period of intense service. It was the time we had financed and built these buildings here, the Expanding Light. He was busy with some big writing projects and had just finished. So we went, and we got condominiums next to each other that all of us shared, maybe like three or four of them or so. And then we got a house for Swamiji, complete separate little cottage somewhere a couple of miles away, so he could really rest and have vacation and seclude. And we got him nicely situated in the house. And he said, you know, we said, we're not going to call you. You call us if you want anything, but we're going to give you just a lot of rest here, a lot of space. And we went off and did, you know, for a few days what people do when they're in Hawaii, having a good time. And then at one point, a few of us went to the grocery store, to the supermarket, and we passed this woman in the aisle of the supermarket, and she said, aren't you from Ananda? To all of us, and we said, well, yes. She said, well, I'm on the mailing list. I get your literature. I recognize her from the pictures that I've seen. She said, you know, a couple of days ago, Swami Kriyananda called me, and he said, I'm here in Hawaii, and if you get some people together, I'm happy to offer a satsang. And we just looked at each other. Our jaw dropped. He was on vacation. We wanted him to rest. And he was serving Master, spreading the seeds, spreading the teachings, as he had always done. And somehow we managed to wrangle an invitation to that satsang, too. But a couple of other just key points, because you can't even begin to scratch the surface. I know you all know that. But Swamiji has taught us impersonal love, impersonal friendship. It's not disinterested. It's not cold. It's extremely deep. It's extremely beautiful because it's soul to soul. It's not to the personality. It's not to the form. It's to the soul. It's to the heart of God seated in that soul. And on that level, it's amazing. And there's, you know, he's one of his two main points in his will and legacy is people are more important than things. But this expresses itself in this impersonal love he has shown us, and we are trying to live in our own lives, is so central and so important to all of this. I remember once when he was visiting us in Seattle, and we were in the car with him, and there was a person who had written Reman and I a note. There was something that she wanted to do, and she was asking our feedback. And I don't remember the specifics, but I remember it was right on the edge, you know, the question of what she wanted to do for her. And also, it was going to make our lives a little more complicated. And so we asked Swamiji what he thought, because this subject, this person came up in the car, the name of this person. And what he said was very interesting. He said, when you're serving people, there's always two aspects to consider, as long as we're not completely free in God. He included himself, but whatever. And he said, the first is, of course, the spiritual welfare of that person. He said, but second and equal to that is also for you spiritually. What will it do? He said, if you can bend and bend and bend some more until you feel as if you're going to snap, and then bend some more, he said, that would be good also, and that would be very important in this consideration. And this is what he has always done for all of us. It was so perfect this morning when he was reassuring us about our flaws and our tests, you know, because that's not ever what he's looking at. He's looking at our soul nature, and he's always willing to throw that lifeline out one more time. And I was thinking about another aspect of this. It's been 18 years now since Swamiji asked Reman and I to coordinate the ministry in Seattle, and we've been away from the village. And every now and then, people will say, you must miss your friends from the village. And I have to say, not really, because, you know, there is no time and space in God, and we're always together, and we know that, and we will not see each other for a year or two or five, and then we see each other again, and it's as if we've always been together, and I know I'm not alone in experiencing this. That's impersonal love. That is love in God, in which there is no time or space, only spirit. Magnetism is also something he's been talking about a lot recently. And that means, of course, the magnetism of the spine in our Kriya practice and meditation, the magnetism of our heart in living rightly, right action, kindness, all the ways that he has shown us by his example so beautifully, so it's easy to remember if we can be still enough and see it, because we don't always see it unless the mind and the heart are still. But then also it's energy. And I remember once, for the first time ever in crystal clarity, we had broken the mark of $50,000 in sales in 1 month. It was 25 years ago. And we were so excited. It was a huge thing. It would be three times that now. And I was walking with Swamiji and telling him about this, and I was so happy, you know, and so pleased with this. And he said, oh, good, next month maybe we can do 100,000. And I just, you know, I'd been too emotional about it to begin with, so I just sort of, he said, what's wrong? I said, well, Swami, it's never enough, you know. And he just looked at me, you know, he never said a word. He just looked at me, and in his eyes I could just see, it is never enough. It's not enough until we're in Nirvikalpa Samadhi, until we're free. And until then, we keep putting out more and more energy. The other day, we had tea with Swami, and he said, I think Davy and I looked at each other. I think we both caught the moment that he was giving us our talk for today. We were talking about the movies, the latest movie projects. And he said, you know, I'm not interested in fame, notoriety. He said, the only thing I'm interested in is spreading Master's teachings. And that indeed is all that he has given his heart to help others by sharing these beautiful teachings through his books and his music and his articles and his radio shows and his TV shows. And when we'd go and tell him that there's trouble, you know, financial trouble, things aren't going well, he'd go out and do twice as much. Not to say, be in denial and say things aren't going well, but to show us. It takes twice the energy, and we need to go out and always break new ground, spread beyond ourselves, to serve beyond ourselves. So that's his tribute to Master, to Yogananda. And I pray that our tribute to him can be to continue in that spirit. Not all of us have the samskars, the karma, the inclination to teach and lecture and go out in those ways, but we can all support it, and we can recognize those who have those gifts and allow that always to be at the forefront of his work. Thank you.